Welcome back to Inside Rock. This week we thought it was appropriate to talk about ZZ Top.
Love ZZ Top. And the reason we're talking about it, it's because of the recent passing of Dusty Hill.
Dusty Hill, man. I was so bummed out when I heard that news.
I know.
It sucked.
Well, he was, the band was performing for over 50 years.
Well, they
longest standing.
With the original membership.
Well, the longest standing American band.
American, yeah.
Yeah, American band. 51 years without a lineup change. That's incredible.
What was the other one we covered?
Well, who beats them?
Huh?
Who beats them?
Radar Love people.
Golden Earring.
Golden Earring, yeah.
Now, mind you, they had lineup changes.
Yeah, but ZZ Top had a lot more diversity in songs and hits than Golden Earring did.
Yeah.
I mean, they did a world tour singing the same song over and over again.
They did not. Like Josh said that when we did that episode. Stupid Josh. Honestly.
It's true.
That's the one time I did agree with Josh. Anyway, we digress.
What? You know what? I'm going to hit you in the face with a yardstick. Give me a yardstick. Somebody got a yardstick.
Back yard. You mean a meter.
Whatever, Russ. Holy smoke. What's happening?
We're getting off to a bad start.
Child, usually you get,
I'm just watching.
Bombarded.
I'm just watching. Is my mic loud enough? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
It's way too loud.
Yeah.
Bitches. What a stupid question. I shouldn't have.
All right. So ZZ Top. Yeah. Oh, 50 years together. Yeah. And Dusty Hill's one of the original members. And he passed away in his sleep. And they don't know the cause of death. But he had recently had hip surgery. But
yeah,
they're not attributing that to his death. It's still causes unknown.
I can't remember. Did you say you saw them?
No, I've never seen Top.
No,
am I
either.
The only one here that's seen Top?
You saw them where?
He talked it was in Toronto. Huey Lewis opened for him. It was a great show.
Oh, I bet.
Great show.
I had tickets to see ZZ Top and Cheap Trick next because I was supposed to see him this year, but it was pushed because of COVID. Stupid COVID. They pushed it back to next year. So I had Cheap Trick and ZZ Top in the same show. But now, I'm not saying that I won't see them, but it'll be with the technician. Now,
yeah, right? But the replacement. Yeah, he was sick before, and then they had this other guy replace him for some shows. And
we're jumping ahead of ourselves, aren't we?
Yeah, but just that's the context.
Yeah, we'll get to that whole thing and Billy Gibbons' interview and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Let's
talk about where it all started. Where are they from?
Well, they're from Texas, man.
Yeah, that little old band from Texas is what they called themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know what? They were all born the same year. They were born in, 1949, I believe, right?
1949. That is correct.
And all three of them were born in 49.
Yep. And they formed in Houston, Texas.
Yep.
And it's been the same three guys for over 50 years. Now, they did have individual bands before that.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. Oh, Moving Sidewalks.
That was it, Moving Sidewalks. Yeah, that was Gibbons' previous band.
Now, how did they come up with the name? Like, there's two stories, right?
There's a couple stories how they came up with ZZ Top. One of them is they saw a logo or some kind of marking on a barn door.
Yeah.
And it remind them of B.B. King, like the two letters together, ZZ. And they wanted to go with ZZ King, but they thought, that's a little too close to B.B. King. And he's the Tops. And they went, Tops. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
ZZ Top. And that's how they came up with it. That's one story.
Actually, another story, right from the horse's mouth. That horse would be Billy Gibbons. But he mentioned about... Early, when they were first starting out, the guys had an apartment, and the apartment was laced with blues posters. B.B. King, D.C. Bender, ZZ Hill. So they were trying to figure out a band name, and they were trying to piece things together, seeing like same type of naming convention that these guys were thinking of. So they went with ZZ, then they were going to do King. They were going to go with that. Then he decided no. And
too close to BBK.
Yeah, that's right. And then King being the top of the food chain. So it's just ZZ Top. Yes. And that was from Gibbons himself.
Yeah. Yes. I just read that now. You know, there's another story that it came from Rolling Papers, Top's Rolling Papers. That's what it says here.
It's hard. There's probably a combination of everything. A bunch of influences, right?
Yeah, but Billy Gibbons' book, it's called Rock and Roll Gearhead. That's where he tells the story you're talking about, yeah. Cha, that it came from concert posters on the wall. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. So that's it. Billy Says So.
I think we should go with that one.
That's Billy Says So. That's it.
Okay.
Yeah. But anyway.
Yeah.
They,
so
they released what? Their first album.
And what was the first album called?
Well, it was ZZ Top's first album.
That's what the name of it was. Exactly.
Exactly. But yeah. ZZ Top's first album.
1971.
Yeah. Yeah. So
yeah.
That I've got that on. I downloaded that. I have that on my. Sorry, on my Spotify, legally.
Nice.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Oh, we all have Spotify. Spotify's the best.
Well, I know. Imagine the Spotify playlist we're going to create for this episode.
Awesome. Yeah, you can remind everybody, listen to the episode, go to our show notes, and there you can find a link to Spotify where we'll put a link for all the songs and make a playlist for this episode so you can hear all the songs we talk about.
Yep.
Anyway, I say they signed, after getting together, they actually signed a deal with London Records within a year in 1970 when they released ZZ Top's first album.
I like the story in 1970. One of the first shows they did in 1970, only one person showed up. Did you read that story?
No.
Yeah, one guy showed up. They
maybe the same guy who's listening to our podcast.
Yeah, so it was February 10th, 1970. It was the Knights of Columbus Hall, and it was in Houston, just outside of Houston, actually. And the gig was booked by a Beaumont radio personality, Al Caldwell, his name was, of KLVI Radio. Anyway, when the curtains opened up, one guy is sitting out in the audience.
Can you imagine, though, now today, if you were that one guy?
Oh, man.
Thinking, I saw ZZ Top by myself.
Yeah. They just shrugged and said, well,
let's play.
Let's play anyway. Show must go on. So they played and they took a break about halfway through. They went out, sat down, bought the kid a Coke, right? Had a break. They went back up and finished.
What a great story, though, for that person.
Oh, yeah. For sure. As long as he knew who they were, because they didn't have beards at that time, right?
We should try to get that person on the podcast.
Wouldn't that be cool? That'd be cool. Cha, that's your job. Find him.
Yeah, find that guy. One guy.
Okay, I guess that's a no.
I guess no.
Negatory on that. No.
Actually, he still goes to the shows.
How do you know?
Gibbons said.
Oh, yeah?
He still sees him at the shows. He said this about 3 years ago. 3 years ago or so. And he said, they still don't know his name. They've been trying to find out his name. And all the guy says is, hey, it's me. Remember the guy?
The guy.
Yeah. And then Gibbons.
It's like
says,
our one listener.
Yeah.
The guy.
And then Gibbons. Of course we remember it. They get a good laugh, but they still don't know his name.
That's hilarious.
But he still goes to see them.
That's funny.
Wow. That's cool. That's very cool.
Now, they followed up that debut album with one called Rio Grande Mud.
That's awesome.
And they had their first chart single off that. You know what it was?
Hold on a minute. Is it Tush?
No. Francine.
No, Tush is off of Fandango. What am I talking about? Francine, that's right.
Yeah. LaGrange and Tush are off Fandango.
Yeah.
We are flying through this. Aren't we going to go through a little more the roots?
Okay, go ahead.
Give me some roots.
Root me,
well,
baby.
Geez, man, we're already at Fandango.
No, I just mentioned it because I made a stupid guess at Tush and it's on Fandango.
Yeah, we're still in 1971.
Oh, well, I was going to bring up Dusty, how he was a huge Elvis freak. Huge.
Oh, yeah.
In fact, and this was before he was with ZZ Top. He was a huge Elvis freak, and his mom used to work in a diner, and Elvis used to go in there. And he was only popular, obviously, in the Houston area, or in that area of
Memphis.
He was only popular there, but he remembers seeing Elvis at his mom's diner. And actually, then when he was part of ZZ Top, he was still such an Elvis freak. He actually got an extra dressing room because of all the Elvis stuff he used to bring on the tour bus. He needed a place to put it. He needed an extra dressing room.
That's hilarious.
That's a great story.
Even when Dusty was younger, he didn't listen to the same kind of music all his friends did. He listened to blues, and everybody thought he was weird.
Yeah.
But a lot of the rock bands have their roots in blues.
We've talked about this in other episodes.
I mean, the Rolling Stones have their roots in blues music.
So did Zeppelin.
Yeah, Rolling Stones originally called the Blues Boys.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, blues, big part of the music back then.
Yeah, so yeah, Dusty Hill was, you know, fully immersed in music from a very young age.
Yeah,
all three of them.
Yeah.
Actually, that's I brought up earlier, Warlocks. That was Dusty's first group.
Ah, Dusty.
It was called Lady Wild and the Warlocks.
Ah, nice.
Yeah. Cool. And he said the singer was a chick. That's why there was Lady Warlock, where it came from. And she was British. And he said back then in Texas, anywhere in there, you have a British member that's a singer. He goes, oh, yeah, you're going places. Oh, yeah, for sure. All you need is a British chick.
I can see that.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The British invasion, it was very popular, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
But then she got pregnant and dropped out of the band, so.
I hate it when that happens.
God.
I don't know. I made that part up.
I know you made that up.
We're going to fact check that one.
Yeah, better not.
Yeah. So then 1973, they came up with Tres Hombres.
Tres Hombres, come on.
Yeah.
That is a kick-ass album.
Well, it made number 8 on the Billboard Top 200 albums. Man.
And you know, I mean, the most popular song is La Grange. Everybody knows how.
Yeah.
Right?
That's perfect.
Actually, you know what he had to do?
To get that voice?
Grungy voice. They started recording, and then he stopped, and he said, you know what? It's just not right. It's not the right sound. And he tried a few times, just not right. So he ended up started stripping his clothes off. He was just down to his pair of shoes and his pants, and he said, I'll be right back. And this was in the winter. And he ran out of the studio, and he was gone for a little bit. And apparently the studio was on a fairly large block, and he ran around the block without stopping a few times, came back in, he goes, okay, let's go. And he was panting, and he was freezing, his throat was cold, and he goes, yeah, that was better.
That's awesome. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great voice. Great voice. So what else off of Tres Hombres? I mean, there's a couple of my favorites, like Jesus Just Left Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Beer Drinkers and Hellraisers. There's just so many. They're very bluesy, those ones, right? But yeah, that's probably one of my favorite albums. I was going to say my favorite, but
yeah, they say that Jesus Left Chicago, they came up with that because one of their teenage friends that Gibbons knew, the guy whose name is R&B Junior. He had famous colloquialisms that he used all the time, and he always used it. Hey, Jesus just left Chicago. One of his sayings. So they used that later to name the song.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Let's not forget Waiting for the Bus.
Waiting for the Bus.
Great tune. Is that great or what? That's the first track. Track one. Yeah. It's terrific. Yeah. We can go on and on. But yeah, that great album. Great album. That was kind of like a breakthrough album for him, really, right? And we're talking, I think you mentioned Jimi Hendrix. And Billy Gibbons had opened for Hendrix.
Yeah, that's right. And that was before... They were like...
That was Moving Sidewalks, right?
That's right. That was before Frank and, and Billy. Yeah, yeah.
Yes, yeah. So what's the deal there? You were telling us this story.
They said, okay, you're going to open for Hendrix, which was mind-blowing to them, right?
I guess.
Yeah, and they said, okay, you'll be on for 40 minutes. And he said, 40 minutes? We don't have 40 minutes worth of material. Like, what are we going to do? So they decided to end it with two Jimi Hendrix tunes.
That's brave, knowing that Hendrix is there. And yeah, it's a Hendrix show.
It's a Hendrix show, that's right.
A lot of artists wouldn't like that either, by the way. You're not going to play my song. I'm going to probably play the same song after you guys.
Yeah.
However.
So they started in one song. Then the second song, I think it was Purple Haze, they started. And as they started, they saw somebody off the side of the stage, and it was Hendrix. He was just looking at them, right?
I bet he was.
Yeah. And then the show was over. He went off to the side, and Hendrix said, you know what? I like you. Something to the effect, like, you've got some balls. I like you.
Well, you know what? Hendrix gave him kudos on the late, not Johnny Carson, but the Tonight Show. He was a guest on the Tonight Show, and that's on there. He said, Billy Gibbons is one of his favorite guitarists. He's up and coming. Watch for this guy. And that was perfect timing, you know.
Well, you know what?
Give him a jump start.
And a lot of people didn't come into ZZ Top until the Eliminator car, the fuzzy guitars, the girls, all that stuff. But Gibbons, man, he's a good guitarist.
Oh, yeah.
Well, songwriter, lyricist, musician. Yeah, he's awesome.
He plays a wicked guitar.
Yeah, sure.
You got to remember, like Rush... They're three guys.
Yeah.
They're just three guys.
Great sound from three guys.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Now, they do use overdubbing in a lot of their stuff.
So, oh, especially on Eliminator. Yeah. We'll get to that, but yeah, they did a lot of that, yeah.
Well, his original band was five. Then I think the two of the members, they got drafted. And then they were like, what do? We got to replace these guys. Then they thought, well, maybe we don't need to replace these guys. And that's where he started the trio.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. All right, so that was Tres Hombres, 1973, which did very well on the charts.
You said number eight on the 200?
By early 74, yeah, it reached number eight.
That's awesome. That's really good. Yeah. Really good.
Yeah. Do you remember well, maybe you don't remember. This is like a long time ago. When they were first starting out, there was like a blues fest.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was primarily, well, you know, mainly black people.
Yeah.
Right? And they were the only white guys in the whole lineup. So they put them dead last in the lineup in the hopes that most people would be gone by then.
Yeah.
And no one left. No one left. And ZZ Top, they had to be coaxed to go out. But they kicked ass. Everything went well.
Yeah, well, go ahead.
No, Chris. I was going to say, they also opened for another member of the 27 Club, Hendrix was. They also opened some shows for Janis Joplin, because Janis Joplin was also from Texas.
Right.
Yeah. So right. They actually opened for her as well. When I say they, I'm talking about Billy Gibbons and his band.
Yeah. Well, even the Doors, Jeff Beck.
Yeah. Another 27 Club. Isn't that right? That's weird,
the
man.
The Animals. Like, he was doing okay before.
Talented guy.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah. Yeah, he's opening for the right people, that's for sure. Wow, that's wicked.
So after Tres Hombres, they peaked in the charts in 1974. They did what they called the Worldwide Texas Tour from 76 to 77, and they just toured everywhere.
Yeah, so before we get into when they took a break, they had two albums they had just released. They released Tres Hombres, and then in 75, they released Fandango. Now, Fandango is a great album. Now, what's unique about Fandango is that side one are live tracks, live recordings. Side two are studio recordings. Side two of Fandango, it's one of my favorite sides of any ZZ Top album. Those tunes like Mexican Blackbird, Heard It on the X, Tush is on there. You know, Tush is only 2 minutes and 14 seconds.
Yes. Yeah, wow. It stinks, yeah.
Right? 2 minutes and 14 seconds. We need a remix of that baby. You know? Just saying. What a great tune.
It is a good tune.
Yeah. But anyway, so they did Fandango, and then they did, the year after, they did Tejas, right?
Yeah.
Tejas. Now, Tejas was, I guess that was the album that prompted the, like Chob was saying, worldwide
Texas. The cattle.
Worldwide Texas. What was it called? What was the official name of that tour?
ZZ Top Worldwide Texas Tour.
There you go. Bringing more attention to Texas.
Yeah.
Right?
They brought steers, rattlesnakes. They brought everything. And they had the steer on the stage while they were playing. They had a vulture above Frank Beard.
They had a cage of rattlesnakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, Billy Bob Thornton called it a Texas circus. Actually, Billy Bob loves ZZ Top. He's known them forever.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. They're buddies. But yeah, Texas Circus right there.
But I guess they had an incident where one of the, a buffalo or whatever they had on stage,
right,
backed up into and knocked over the rattlesnake cage, releasing live venomous rattlesnakes all over the stage.
Now it sounds like an Alice Cooper concert.
Yeah, it's funny you say that, because that's what prompted them for all these stage antics was Stadium Rock. Stadium Rock was becoming huge in the mid-70s like that. You know, Alice Cooper, Ozzy Osbourne, not necessarily at that time, but Alice Cooper especially, was getting very theatrical, right? But that's what gave Billy Gibbons the idea. Let's bring some live animals on stage. Someone sold us something like Jim Morrison we covered.
I was going to say, good thing Jim Morrison was there. Although they did open for the Doors at one point, so
maybe that's where he got the idea.
When Morrison took the sheep on stage.
That's right. We don't want that. Yeah, go back
lamb.
And listen to that.
The lamb.
It was a lamb. Yeah, for sure.
What are you going to do with that lamb, Jim?
Yeah.
Never mind.
He had intentions. What a messed up dude, man. I'm telling you.
Oh.
But so, actually, yeah.
That tour that you're talking about, Frank recalls getting a check for $72,000.
Oh yeah,
for that tour, and they did. That's a big tour, and that was a lot of work, a lot of time. $72,000. Wow. But to them back then, right? That's a lot of cash.
It was back in the '70s, so that's quite a bit of money.
Yeah. And Frank did admit everything. All of that went to drugs.
Wow, that's sad.
Yeah.
Wow.
All of it, he said.
Yeah, that sucks. That sucks.
Well, as they say, they took the break because one of the reasons was because of Frank Beard's addiction.
Mm-hmm.
And that led up to the end of 76. When?
What did they do?
Well, you mentioned they took a break.
They took a break, yeah.
To take a break, fellas.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what Dusty did during the break?
He took a job of airport.
Yeah. He even put a name tag on Joe. And he worked at an airport just to get away from everybody.
Well, he wanted to feel a sense of normalcy again.
That's right.
Yeah, he said, I didn't want people to think I was full of myself, and I just wanted to start, feeling normal.
Like even at Friday nights when they're done work, hey, Joe. Yeah. They were calling him Joe.
Yeah.
Little did they know.
This was at Dallas-Fort Worth International Airport. Yeah, he worked there during the break, the three-year break that they took.
Now, it's interesting to note that during the break, up until this point, they really weren't popular for their beards.
No.
So during the break, they let their beards grow. Dusty Hill and Billy Gibbons let their beards grow.
And they didn't know each other were doing it.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
And when they got back together, it's like, oh man, chin whiskers.
Yeah. So when they came, 1979, they came back. It was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny, eh?
Actually, something else had happened over the break. The record label they were with released a greatest hits album without notifying them.
Wow.
And good old Bill Hemm, like he was.
He must have known.
He was always on the guy's side. He sued them, the record label. You can't do that. What the hell are you doing? So they sued them. They cut them loose and they went to Warner Brothers. And then going to Warner Brothers.
Wow, that was huge.
That was huge man.
Yeah.
It was huge.
Yeah. We all know what album they were. What they launched with Warner Brothers.
Well, the Eliminator.
Eliminator, baby.
And you know what? He said everything was just fell in perfect sync. They were having the beards, which is unique, right? They were very unique. MTV was just getting going around that time.
Oh, some of their videos were awesome.
That's right. And then they introduced the Eliminator, the sports car, the girls, the beards, everything just fell into place.
Well, they were doing a bunch of overdubbing and synthesizers and electronics involved in their music, and it gave them a whole new sound that was consistent with the time.
Well, Bill Hamm didn't, when they were going in the studio, he said, no overdubbing. No overdubbing. Yeah. So then the one guy that was recording or helping him produce, I can't recall his name, but he asked Bill Hamm to go, the guys want some wings, right? And he gave Gibbons a wink. Yeah, we want some. Well, there's a place down the road. You mind going to get it for us? And this place was a good hour and 15, 20 minutes away.
Get him out of there.
Yeah. So he had at least your hours. So they said, guys, we're going to do that. He did overdubbing a little bit. He worked with his guitar. He did his magic. Then he finally came back. Goes, holy shit, I didn't realize the damn place is so far. What the hell did you? And he goes, hey, listen to this. And he goes, and he admitted, oh shit, that's the sound, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, that car, the Eliminator car, that was a 1933 Ford. Billy Gibbons was really into hot rods. It was a hobby of his. So he started working on that car in 1976. And it proved so popular, right, that he actually had another one built to go on tour with. So he had two of them made. I sat in that car.
Did you?
Yeah, I was at a car convention in Buffalo. Actually, Niagara Falls, New York, not Buffalo, Niagara Falls, New York.
All right.
And I sat in the original Batmobile, and I sat in the Eliminator. Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah, very cool. I got a picture of it. I have to show it to you. I may have to show it to you. Block out my face. You can put it on the show notes.
Beautiful.
You don't scare anybody.
Yeah, well, put it on your Facebook.
Yeah.
And I'll do a link to your, they know who you are.
No one needs to know who I am.
Yeah, sir.
We don't want to know who
he is. No.
Well, Chaz still calling me what? Tweaks?
Tweaks and Chip.
Tweaks and Chip. That's it. Okay, so what else we got? Eliminator was huge. We could go on and on about Eliminator.
I know you guys, but that's my favorite. I mean, the three songs on there that everybody knows that rocketed them to the top.
Mm-hmm.
Sharp Dressed Man. Come on.
Legs.
Legs and?
Give Me Some Lovin'.
That's it. Yeah, those.
Yeah, it was huge.
Which one was Sleeping Bag off of? That was off the next one, wasn't
that's
it?
That's Afterburner, isn't
Afterburner,
it?
Yeah, I think you're right, yeah.
You know, I love, I much prefer all the old stuff, but obviously it was, there was catchy tunes, right? Everybody was into it. Plus, didn't they have some about Back to the Future, right? ZZ Top?
Double Back, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll get to that. We'll get to that. Yeah, that's coming up.
But, and you know what else too? It's all the flashy stuff, fuzzy guitars. And then when they spun their guitars on their stomach.
Yeah, and that's...
It was so gimmicky.
There's a story behind that. I mean, it's these are the spinning fur guitars in the video Legs.
Right.
That's where it's from. They had a designer, Dean Zielinski. He had a private guitar label. And Billy Gibbons sent him some sheep fur and said, I want you to incorporate this into some of the guitars. What?
Why not?
Okay. So he sent it to him, and he, you know, put the sheepskin on the guitars. He used a horse shear down the middle so they could get the different controls and the keyboard or the fingerboard. And sent it off to them. And then they used it and did the spinning routine, which is, I mean, that's how I, when I think of ZZ Top, I think of that scene, the fuzzy fur guitars spinning them during the Song of Legs.
Oh, yeah.
That's great.
I mean, you didn't go out to a bar and on MTV, you always saw that video.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Sharp dressed men and legs, especially. That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. But that was a great album. Love those three. And Sharp Dressed Man, great song, great video. I mean, when you go out in the 80s, all these dance places were playing huge screens, and because videos were huge during then.
Mm-hmm.
So I always remember that one, Sharp Dressed Man, and...
You can dance if you want to.
Safety dance.
Safety dance.
And, men without hats.
And Robert Palmer.
Oh, Addicted to Love.
And Simply Irresistible.
And Simply, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, they played those all the time. But anyway, ZZ Top, spinning fur guitars.
Well, they adapted, I guess, to the times. I much prefer the older stuff before Eliminator, but they did adapt well. They made most of their money then, that's for sure.
Oh, no question.
Yeah, their sound definitely went a little bit more mainstream, more appealing to the masses, right?
Yeah, they lost the blues, I think, to it.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Do you know what group influenced them to get into the more electronic stuff and dancing style?
Was a group called not Tesla or Tate? What was it called?
No, they were on a show called The Old Grey Whistle on BBC.
Yeah.
And they were on the same time as OMD, Occasional Maneuvers in the Dark. And they were using it. And ZZ Top said, that stuff's pretty cool. So they started.
I don't want to know this.
Yeah, they started to incorporate some of the technique, and began to experiment with synthesizers, and then it really came out prominently in their 1981 album El Loco.
There was an electronic band called Telex, they're from Europe, I believe, and Billy Gibbons was a big fan. He actually wrote him a letter. Followed them quite a bit, and then he wrote a letter to Mark Moulin. He was one of the founding members of Telex, and the letter says, "We wanted to write to tell you that we liked your record very much. Carbon Copies and Exercise are two of our latest favorites." So during the worldwide tour, when the concert was done, they would play their two favorite Telex songs as the crowd was leaving.
Wow, that's a tribute, eh?
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool.
Yeah, so that's, I thought that was pretty cool. So I did, it's funny, you know, you guys that came from like such a blues-based, background to follow electronic group like that. But,
So now we're talking about the early 80s, we're in the early 80s, correct?
Wait, can I tell one more story?
Yeah.
This is when they were first starting out. So this was another big... happening for the band. They received word that the Stones wanted to open. They wanted them to open for the Stones in Hawaii.
I remember reading that.
Yeah, it just knocked them on the floor, right?
Yeah.
And the guy said, well, we got an opening from the Stones. This is unbelievable. So instead of going up to Hawaii a couple of days before, they went up like, two or 3 weeks early just to warm up. And the warm up just turned into them pretty much sitting on the bench and drinking. But well, actually, they came in. The manager caught him in the bar. They said Charlie Watts, by the way, he would sit at the poolside bar for 12 hours every day. Charlie by himself, like nothing going on.
He was just a weird dude. Eh?
Just Charlie Watts. Just sit at the pool bar for 12 hours every single
eating
day.
Eating his oatmeal.
Yeah. Giz's story about serving him his oatmeal every day.
Yeah. But I guess they were, Mick really liked the guys. Mick is the one that actually heard about them and sought them out. So there was one night they're at a bar, the hotel bar, with Mick, and their manager come in, Bill. And they saw them, they were getting pretty drunk. And this was like, you know, the show's the next night. And the manager said, listen, 2-drink minimum. You guys have to do
maximum.
This.
Maximum.
Maximum.
So, oh, sorry. That's right.
I think the minimum was long gone.
I'm thinking about what I want to hear, not what Yeah. 2-drink maximum. So so he left and the bartender heard this. And he said, you guys need our drink. It's called the Chimp in Orbit.
Chimp in Orbit.
Yeah, apparently this glass was so big you had to set it on the ground with a huge straw
to drink maximum.
Yeah, so it had a huge straw come up to the chair. So the manager came in the next night and he saw the drink and Billy, hey, this is only our second one.
Didn't say what size,
right? That's right.
That's funny. That's good.
Yeah, but the Stones, like Mick, I guess he really liked them.
I mean, I'll jump way ahead, but we'll go back. But the Stones play another factor in their story in 2004.
Yeah.
2004, they were officially inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And who inducted them? Who did the actual presentation and induction?
It was Jagger, wasn't it?
No, Keith Richards.
Keith Richards, that's right.
Keith Richards.
What an honor.
Yeah, so the Stones factored into...
Jumping way ahead to 2000.
Yeah, I just had to, because you mentioned the Stones, so I mean, I had to go back. So let's go back to early 80s.
Okay, all right, okay. Well, I mean, there's Eliminator. I mean, that is their most successful album out of their catalog. Right,
the most commercially successful.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah,
was that 15 million copies or something that?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Yeah,
it was a worldwide smash. I mean, they just did, again, because of those three main songs for the pop culture, that just ate it up.
Yeah, well, you know, you got to wonder. You know, that was right at the time when MTV was becoming popular. I mean, look what it did for Michael Jackson's Thriller. I mean,
yeah.
You know, not to say it's not a good album. It's a good album. But same thing with Eliminator. That got so much airplay on MTV.
Well, they did a good job with the video production.
Oh,
they it told a little story.
Oh, for sure.
But do you realize before Eliminator and the videos and everything, before that, they really weren't in your face.
No, not at all.
Bill Hamm, actually, when they first started, he gave direction. Like, you guys have to be, like, lay low, unseen. Trust me. Just... have them wondering about you. Mm. And until Eliminator, all those albums, like Billy Bob Thornton said, geez, when you come across one of the guys from ZZ Top, it's like, holy shit, it's really one of them. It's like meeting Bugs Bunny in person. Like, holy shit. So
I know he's your hero.
Bugs Bunny? Of course he is. Yes. But that's when Billy said, Billy Gibbons, the Eliminator is when they really, you know what, everything, gloves are off, that's it. We're getting out there. But before that, man, you never.
That's true.
You know?
You know, not to jump past a couple of their other albums, but, you know, in 79 when they came, before Eliminator, there were two other albums where they came back with Duguelo after their break.
79.
Yeah, which is Cha's favorite. One of your favorites.
Yeah. All the old stuff's my, but yeah, Duguelo. I remember you have a, I didn't have to buy the older ZZ Top albums.
Yeah, that's right.
But Duguelo, I remember playing the most.
Yeah. I Thank You, I'm Bad, I'm Nationwide. Cheap Sunglasses was a huge hit for them.
It was a big hit for them, yeah.
Right? I mean, that's when they started wearing the sunglasses.
Yeah.
Right? For that tour. And that just stuck. They just kept that image, the beards and the sunglasses. And then after that, they did El Loco.
And that's one of the main albums they used to experiment with, you know, clavinets and saxophones and synthesizers.
Yeah.
And they just started looking at some of the new sounds.
Yeah. Tube Snake, eh? Tube Snake Boogie.
Yeah.
Now, a lot of people misinterpret that. And there's a lot of double entendre in a lot of their songs.
Oh, for sure.
It keeps you guessing. What are they talking about? But yeah. apparently, it's really about surfing, surfboards.
Yeah.
Right?
Sure,
rather than
sure it is.
Something else. That
yeah, just like Pearl Necklace. Yeah. yeah.
Well, though they make it very clear in that one.
Well, that's off of El Loco, right? Pearl Necklace was a big hit for them. I love that song, actually.
Yeah, it got up to 28 on the charts.
Yeah, that was a good hit.
And you're left guessing throughout the whole song, well, are they talking about an actual pearl necklace or the other thing?
Yeah.
And then they finally say, yeah, it really don't cost that much.
Yeah. So we know which one it was.
We know which one it was, yeah. yeah.
And Party on the Patio, another big one for them.
Yeah, Party on the Patio.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Friggin' ZZ Top, man. I can't wait to get to my collection and start listening again.
Well, yeah. Cha, you're going to have a heyday putting this playlist together.
I'll just put every album on. How's that?
In the entirety. You're going to need like two days to listen.
Yep.
Awesome. I love it. Good idea.
Yeah, it's all good.
So anyway, where we're at. So anyway, then, of course, Lemonator. We already covered Lemonator.
83.
Their biggest commercial success to date. And Monster album. And then?
Afterburner.
Well, yeah. What year was Afterburner? 85?
85.
1985.
Okay. So, I love Sleeping Bag. I love song. You know?
Well, they said that Afterburner had influence of new wave punk and dance rock in Afterburner. They just changed with the times, whatever's popular.
I just listened to a top song off this album today. In the car, it was Velcro Fly. Have you ever heard Velcro?
Oh, man, of course.
What a great tune.
It is a good tune.
It's got a great beat. Yeah, it's just a great song. Yeah. Good stuff, man. Good stuff. But anyway, yeah, so they were at their peak. They were at their peak. Now, something happened in 1984. That's when they were approached by Gillette.
Yes.
That was in 1984. That was before this last album.
We'll just give you $1 million.
To do what?
Shave off your beards.
For an ad for Gillette. Ad.
Yeah.
And they said,
no way.
Yeah. Now they passed. And, you know, Gibbons was interviewed recently about that decision. And he said, I don't regret it. I don't regret it at all.
Of course, you can say that now.
Yeah. But at the time, $1 million. But now, mind you, Lemonator was, that's why Gillette wanted them, because they were such a commercial success. Everybody knew who the hell they were, right?
Mm-hmm. And you know what? You'd lose a little respect for them to see them shave off their beards for an ad. Stupid.
For Gillette,
commercial.
Forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it.
I'm like, don't get me wrong. I would do it, but.
Yeah, no kidding. No kidding. But anyway, so yeah, I had to mention the Gillette thing. That was in 84. And then Afterburner. And then what happened?
What year are we talking about?
Well, we're past 85 now, because that was Afterburner.
You're talking about the next album?
Well, what happened?
What, you're talking about 91?
No, before that. The Back to the Future series.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
can't forget
yeah.
that. Right? So that was in 1989 or 90? 1990. Ooh. 1990, I think it was.
Okay.
Back to the Future Part 3. Yeah, it was 1990. So, you know, they seem like a perfect band to incorporate into Back to the Future Part 3, which was...
That was the Old West.
It was like an Old West.
Old West, yeah.
And these guys had the beard. They looked the part. Right?
Yeah.
So they played a band in the movie playing at a square dance.
That's right.
And they did the whole spinning guitar thing in the movie too.
Yeah.
Right? And they did the song Double Back. That was the name of the song. So the song was played over the end credits, the studio version. But in the movie, when they're doing the square dance, they do an old-fashioned kind of rendition of the song Double Back.
Mm.
Yeah. So, and the movie took place largely in the year 1885, right? So, yeah, I mean, come on, we could do a whole podcast on the Back to the Future series. I love that. Probably my favorite film series. It's great. But anyway.
So that was what, 1990?
That was 1990, yeah.
And then tragedy struck in 1991.
Yeah, that's brutal. What a story. That was Bill Hamm's wife was... kidnapped
and murdered.
And murdered by a guy from Texas.
Spencer Corey Goodman, 23 years old.
What's with all these psychos that have three-part names?
I know, weird, eh?
Mark David Chapman, You know, there's all kinds of them. Yeah. Lee Harvey Oswald.
Sirhan, Sirhan, Sirhan.
We'll go with that.
That's only two Sirhans.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, so he was, he just been paroled.
Yeah.
And he'd been walking for a long time. His feet hurt. And he wanted a car because his feet hurt. So he saw this woman coming out of a store getting into a red Cadillac. Said, I think I'm going to take her car.
There it
and,
is.
And she opened the door to get in, and he jumped in beside her, pushed her aside, and then punched her in the side of the head, knocked her out, then hit her again in the back of the head, which killed her.
Wow.
And he stole the car, and eventually he was caught and sentenced to death.
So it was a carjacking. It really wasn't a kidnapping. I mean, he just jumped in and murdered her and stole her car.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, and he got the death penalty, right?
Yeah. I mean, it just, yeah, terrible.
Yeah.
Wrong place, wrong time.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy, eh?
Yeah, her name was Cecilia.
Cecilia.
Cecily, Cecily. I know, it's C-E-C-I-L-E. Is it Cecile? Cecile.
Let's go with that.
Yeah. Cecile Ham. She was 48 years old.
Yeah.
And this guy just decided he wanted her car.
That sucks, man. That sucks.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Poor Bill Ham. Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
How do you bounce back from that?
Yeah. I guess at the execution by lethal injection, Ham was sitting there and the guy sitting beside him said, okay, they're sitting in the observation area. He said to Bill Ham, how you feel? Fantastic.
Yeah, I bet.
This guy's going to get what he deserves.
Although he got away easy.
Yeah, no yeah, kidding. Really? It was just terrible.
Really?
Terrible. Wow. But anyway, so yeah, they, because he was like one of the guys. So then yeah. I'm sure they were all devastated by that.
Yeah. 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 So what happened? What else happened in the 90s? You know, ZZ Top, it wasn't the only time they had a move, song for a movie. They had one in Quentin Tarantino's produced From Dusk Till Dawn, directed by Robert Rodriguez. They used the song She's Just Killing Me for that movie.
You know, I remember Super Bowl, all these halftime shows at Super Bowl. You remember when ZZ Top did it in 97?
Yeah, when it was cool.
When it was cool.
Yeah, and when they had good acts.
Kick-ass halftime.
Other crap.
You know, two of my favorite halftimes? Rolling Stones and ZZ Top.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, but I have to give kudos to something more modern I'll bring up. I did enjoy, though, Bruno Mars.
Yeah,
you know what?
I agree.
Freaking great.
I agree.
Yeah,
I agree.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of the new stuff, but that show, he was on fire, man.
Yeah, they're all wearing suits, doing the dance, singing. It was a great show.
Yeah, I agree.
It's good music, great visuals.
I'm glad we all agree on that.
Yeah,
one.
We do.
Yeah,
that was good. But Rolling Stones and ZZ Top.
Yeah, don't forget Kiss. They did a good halftime show.
Forgot all about that.
Yeah.
Holy shit, I forgot about
Kiss
that.
They burned the stadium down?
No, they tried. Yeah. All right. But yeah, that was what, 97 you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. You know, they peaked with Eliminator for sure. They had some solid albums after that, like Recycler, Afterburner.
Right.
And what's that one, Antenna?
It was after Recycler. That came out in 94, which I really don't
I don't know
at
that
all.
One either. No, me either.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know you've got it.
Yeah, it's good. I mean, they're all good.
They are honest.
If you like the sound of ZZ Top, I don't think they've made a bad album.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
Really. But
like I said, I just downloaded 50 of their all-time songs.
For home use only, of course.
No, I got it off of iTunes. I bought it.
Okay, you paid for it.
I paid for
it. Okay, because we do not condone illegal
downloads.
Are you
high?
Oh, no, I paid for it.
Spotify.
No. Spotify doesn't have everything, though.
No, they don't have everything. Unless I downloaded it through iTunes or Apple Music, sorry. And it's on my computer and my phone now, so I can play it anywhere.
I'm going to torrent them tonight.
Wow.
Is that just after you robbed that house or what?
What? I've never stolen anything in my life.
I know you haven't, but you fantasize.
What?
You sound like John Candy in Planes, Trains.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
You stole it. I've never stolen anything about it. That's great. So anyway, they kept active, but kind of a little more low-key right? In the late in the 90s.
90s, yeah. And then yeah. The 2000s, they still performed, did concerts.
Well, it's funny you bring up 2000. Not funny, this isn't funny, but in the year 2000, Dusty Hill was actually diagnosed with hepatitis C.
Right.
And it was the following year. I'm sorry, not the following year. It was in 2021. He fell ill. So that was just this year. We all know what happened. He fell ill.
So a combination of hip surgery, hepatitis C, and just he was old.
He was complaining. He was complaining to the guys in the band after shows and tours. He says, I don't much want more. I can take of this. It's really bothering me. His shoulders, hips.
Yeah. Well, they told him to take a break, and somebody was going to sub for him, right?
Yeah. Well, the technician, the guitar tech, their longtime tech. They, I think, for 30 years they had this guy. His name was Elwood Francis, and
Elwood, what a great name, man.
The band Elwood, the
Elwood
band.
Francis,
but we all know on July 28th we lost Dusty Hill. He died
of this year, 21.
Elwood, and quite frankly, Dusty Hill said before this, before he died in his sleep,
if anything happens to me,
use Elwood. Yeah. He goes, the guy knows, he's been with us 30 years. He knows all the tunes. Use him. Don't fold the band. Don't bring in a stranger. You got Elwood.
Yeah.
And Elwood stepped up. And
so when you go see him at the casino, you're going to see
Elwood.
It'll
probably be Elwood, man. Elwood, Elwood. Yeah.
That's good stuff. So as of 2016.
Yeah.
ZZ Top had 11 gold, 7 platinum, and 3 multi-platinum records.
Wow. And 1 diamond. Eliminator's diamond, which is 10 million
big
plus,
commercial
right?
success,
So, wow, that's massive.
Yeah. It's just good music to listen to. It's just fun music.
And just another note about Bill Ham. Bill Ham, they parted ways with Bill Ham in 2004, just so you know.
Mm.
Yeah, so they, I mean, I don't think they're pumping out. Like Billy Gibbons has a solo album. I actually have that one as well. He's got a pretty cool solo album. But I think with Bill Ham, I mean, I guess they really didn't need him anymore.
Well, he probably said, look, time for me to retire.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I think so. So what are they, 72? I think that's how old they are, right? Well, 49. Yeah, it'd be 72. Oh,
49, yeah.
Yeah, they're 72 years old. Yeah. So they're still rocking. That's great. I love it.
Still not as old as Keith.
No, Keith's dead, actually.
They just stuffed him.
Everybody thinks he's alive.
Keith's an alien. He'll never die.
I know, right?
Smoking like a fiend.
Drinking.
And
unprotected sex.
Like, just, living the life.
I'm just assuming that. I'm sorry.
Where'd that come from?
Just trying to be a little more dramatic.
Wow.
Sorry, Keith.
Yeah, no kidding.
So, we got any more on that, or are we going to wrap this baby up?
I think that's a lot. We covered a lot. What a band. What a band.
Yeah.
Right?
And very fond memories of Dusty Hill.
It's not very often. Yeah, for sure. Mm-hmm. Rip Dusty. But you know what? It's not very often we do a podcast just dedicated to a particular band. And we've only done it a few times. We did it with Fleetwood Mac, and we did it with Boston. And I think this is just the third time we've done it.
Yeah, we'll see how this one goes. If people like it, we'll do a few more because there's a number of bands we want to do dedicated podcasts to. We just haven't got around to it.
Well, it's fun doing the research, too, because you learned a lot about the band that you didn't know, right?
Yeah.
What if it bombs?
Then we'll never do it again.
we'll blame you, Chuck.
No.
Well, then that'll be our time to do the Menudo.
Menudo. I was just going to say Menudo's on deck.
Like, it was going to bomb anyway. Let's just do Menudo.
Okay. So we'll look forward to Menudo. We're going to wrap this one up with Oat.
Queeks.
And Ja.
The Jabber Guys.
Remember to go to our website, jabberguys.com, to subscribe to our podcast, Inside Rock and Weird and Wacky World.